Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. On this episode, you're going to hear from Jasmine Tate. We're going to be talking about pursuing music with Christ and breaking out of the Christian cultural boxes that have been placed upon us, as well as just submitting your gift to God as a creative. I hope you guys enjoy this one. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in for this week's episode. I have my good friend Jasmine on. I'm very excited that you guys get to listen in on our conversation. She's a very, very talented musician, and I think you guys are going to be really blessed by our conversation today. So Jasmine, if you wouldn't mind introducing to yourself, I think that would be exactly what people need.
Hey everybody, my name is Jasmine Tate. I live in Fort Worth, Texas, and I'm a singer-songwriter, worship leader. I actually am the worship pastor at my church, as well as the creative arts director. So live in Fort Worth.
Hey. Awesome. And the church is what, a Mercy Culture, or is it just Mercy?
Yeah, Mercy Culture is the name of our church.
That's a really cool name. I've never, ever heard a name like that. That's really clever.
Me either.
Very clever. And so, but you're not originally from Fort Worth, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I was raised in Columbus, Ohio, actually. And but I spent a lot of time after I graduated high school in Pennsylvania. So I lived in Pittsburgh for a while, lived in Philly for a while, and travel a lot. So I feel like I have a few different home bases sometimes.
But, awesome.
But I was raised in Columbus. Yeah.
Very cool, man. Awesome. And so you've been making music for a while now. Would you say that? Yeah. And what really intrigued me when we had first like spoke was how God had brought you into making music, and really clever. Like just the way God did that. I'm like, man, Lord, I hope you teach me instruments. So would you be able to like break down like at what point did you start feeling this like prompting to make music, to create?
Yeah. So I am, my dream in high school was to work in corporate America. I wanted to, felt called to celebrities. So I wanted to work in corporate America, wanted to reach that people group. And the way that I thought I was going to do that was working for like MTV, VH1, BET, some major television network, record label or something, and just being able to get around influencers and just love them, but also from behind the scenes, shift the media monster, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, sorry, that was my book, but that was my dream. And what happened was between high school and college, I was going to college to study corporate communication. I played basketball in school, so I was on scholarship, getting ready to go and do that. And on my way there, basically in that summer, I started getting all these prophetic words about music. So people would call me up and say, hey, I had a dream last night. You were on a stage, you were singing, chains were falling off of people when you were singing, people were getting delivered, set free from suicide, and their physical body was being healed, things like that while you were singing. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, cause I don't sing, I don't play the guitar, and I honestly don't want to be on the platform. I've been kind of burned by the platform, been kind of burned by stuff, church stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do anything like that, to be completely honest. And then I would be like checking out churches in Pittsburgh, and like pastors would call me out and be like, you lady in the back row, God says there's a sound inside of you, and I see you on the stage playing the guitar and blah blah blah. And I would just be like, what the heck? Like, I don't even do music and don't want to. I don't understand, you know? And so a lot of those stories happen. I won't go through every single scenario like that, but it was several wild stories like that. And that kind of surrendering moment for me was, I was talking to one of my mentors one day, and I asked her, I said, hey, I don't know what to do about this. I was crying. I'm like, I just don't understand what I'm supposed to do. I love God. I want to give him my yes in everything. So I want to give him my yes. I just don't understand. And I thought that our yes had something to do with our understanding. And that's just not true. Mm-hmm. Our yes has nothing to do with our understanding of what God wants to do through our lives. We just have to say yes to him, you know? And so
that sounds like that's where faith is needed.
Yeah.
Right. If you understood everything, then
Why do you need faith?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so I was talking to my mentor that day, and And she was just like, Jasmine, it sounds like God's trying to invite you into part of your destiny. She says, you can either say yes to God and he'll show you how to do it. He'll give you what you need to do it. Or you can say no. And he's just going to use somebody else to do it. But you need to decide today. And I was just like, no. And so in her little, in her house, that night, I said yes to the Lord, wrote it in my journal, kind of declared it D-Day, you know. And a few weeks after that, in my dorm room, long story short, the Lord began to teach me how to play the guitar in my dorm room, to the point to where my roommate walked in and she was like, you do music? You play the guitar? Why, you know, she's like, why didn't I know about that? And I was just like, I didn't know about it. I was like, I don't understand what's happening right now, you know? And so there's a lot that happened after that, but that's kind of, that's how I got started. That's where things begin.
That's so cool, man. Man, I can't imagine being your roommate just walking in like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, it's real. That's, I mean, so cool. Even that summer, I remember seeing my brother, and I have four brothers and a sister, and I have a lot of siblings, but those are the ones that I grew up closer to. And one of my siblings, I saw him that summer, and I had a guitar with me. And keep in mind, my family members, my friends, people that I grew up with, that I was in high school with, nobody ever knew me to do music. That wasn't a thing, you know? Yeah. So it was a joke to anybody that saw me when I got home from college that summer, you know?
Wow.
And so my brother was just like, what are you doing with the guitar? You don't play the guitar. You know, just being a typical brother, he's like, what are you doing? What are you, stupid guitar? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, no, bro, like, I play the guitar now. And he was like, no, you don't. And I was like, okay. And he's like, play me a song. And I was like, all right. And so I started singing the song that I had written, and he just starts bawling. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. He's like, when did
this
happen? So just moments like that, because it was such a, it wasn't a reality for anybody in my life, you know, for the first half of my life, you know.
That's so cool, man. Praise God. And so now you have, now fast forward a few years later, you are where you are now, right? You're in Texas. You're helping, you know, with this church body out in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all this, you've still been pursuing a musical career in regards to like hoping to create in ways that continue what was spoken over you, right?
Yeah,
so you received word that God was gonna heal and set people free, and has done already, but you wanting to maintain that so that people experience a freedom that they might not know about. And let's say people come to a show not expecting to be set free or not even knowing they're in bondage and being able to hear music. And I think for you guys that's listening, man, when it comes to writing music, it's powerful, and it could be so much more powerful when God is really the one breathing life into it, you know? And that's what I found even in the last few days. I had a conversation with a friend and we were working on a project together, and I'm slightly impatient, I must say. I like to get things done. And when I have my mind set on something, I get it. Like, I'm not going to let things get in the way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a gift, and it could be a downfall at the same time. But what I realized is like, man, am I really putting God first here? You know, like, God's given me a gift to make and create and produce and do all this stuff. It's easy to kind of just start crutching on the gift rather than on God.
Mm-hmm.
And so with everybody that is listening right now that creates stuff, you know, we can fall into this method of creating without God.
Yeah.
And which is possible, but how much better can we create when we're actually led with the Holy Spirit, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a massive difference between just doing things for God even and doing things with God, you know? And I think there's a lot of awesome Christian kingdom creatives that have a pure heart to do things for the Lord, to be used by God. But it's just really different when you are making a conscious decision to create with God and invite him into your process of creating. I think there's very different fruit that comes from that than just wanting to do it for him. You know, I think that's what I think God desires, for us to do it with him.
Amen.
You know, I think to just do something for someone, it's almost like it is removing the reality of relationship. Mm. God can do something for you all day. It's the difference between Martha and Mary. You know, Martha was doing things for Jesus. You know, she was serving, she was working, and Mary chose to do something with him. You know, there was like this intimate moment of exchange between them. And I, you know, he was like, that's the good part right there. Like worshiping, doing something with me, us being in communion with each other, just a different thing than just doing something for him, you know?
That's good. That's really good. And I feel like I've shared that with people, but you can know it and still fail. You know, like, because you know about that doesn't mean
absolutely you're
exempt.
Yeah, per everything in our lives that we have revelation of.
Seriously, though. Seriously. Yeah. Wow. So I've been really, really enjoying some content you've been making on Instagram, right? Thanks, man. And it's been really, really clever. So props to you and your friend and whoever else is part of the production team, because it's been really, really well made. And awesome. I've been very encouraged and challenged. And so for people who are listening who that necessarily haven't ran into you on, say, Instagram. Do you put the stuff on YouTube too, or is just mainly Instagram right now?
Man, somebody just challenged me about that. But no, I don't currently put it on YouTube. Somebody,
that's fine. I mean, put it this way. It's not about you having to do everything cross platforms. You know, like, stick to a platform and get really good at it. And you don't have to, just because everyone else might be, you know, trying to do all this, it doesn't mean you got to. You know,
I mean, it's real when you meet somebody. It's real when you meet somebody on social media, though, that's like, hey, I'm always on YouTube. Is this ever going to be available there? You know, it's just like a real thing.
I know.
Like, I have to stick to what I'm doing. But man, I want to make that easy for you, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. So where's like the next step with that type of content? Because I do love your music, but I have been really loving how you teach, because you teach.
Thanks, man.
You don't call yourself a teacher, but you're a teacher. Yeah. And where's like the next few steps you're going to be taking, or maybe like a direction you want to be going in with stuff like that to bring truth and life into people on their feet?
Yeah, for sure. I think my heart beyond music, to be honest, is equipping creatives and empowering creatives to do what they feel called to do. And so social media, Instagram specifically, and some Facebook, has been a joy to do, to be able to release content that is equipping creatives, empowering them and encouraging them in what they feel called to do. I think large scale, like way down the road, what I'm working on kind of behind the scenes is building this creative community called Axel. And so it hasn't been launched publicly yet. I haven't really talked about it at all publicly, but there's been a building behind the scenes of this community of creatives and artists together. And we are storing up content. We're storing up teachings. Mm-hmm. We're storing up curriculum for creatives right now. And the heart is in the next year or so that we could just begin to blast curriculum and classes and just different things for creatives, kind of like what you're experiencing on Instagram. We want to give that on a large scale consistently to creatives. You know, creatives will be able to be a part of that community and like take a class, a course, if you will, specifically regarding songwriting as a kingdom creative, or videography, whatever, photography, all these different topics, but then providing the platform for those creatives to actually come together and be able to communicate and pray for each other and provide prayer support, prayer covering for people as they do what they're called to do as missionaries in the creative realm, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, we're working on more extensive curriculum and resources for that. I'm working on a devotional right now that has a lot of that type of that content, you know, in it. And so I, you know, my heart is to equip long-term, you know, I feel more called to that than I do even the music thing, to be completely honest. So it blesses me to hear that it's encouraging you.
Wow, man. It's so crazy to hear that from you, because I've been hearing the same passion and vision, you know, for creatives. Like, I've been hearing it from people all over the world. For like, sure. God's really up to something right now, man. And it's just like, wow, God. I mean, for this podcast, for example, you know, like this fits within all that. You know, it's just like, wow, God, like we want to create for you. We want to draw near to you, but we also want to help others. You know, we also want to help other brothers and sisters in Christ, man. It's like, wow, God, like this has never been done, really.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're this new generation of, like, we're, as I was talking with Alex Dion Wilson on the first episode, he was just like, man, we're like pioneering this stuff. You know, like, just like, you know, the first apostles were like pioneering what it is to be a disciple of Christ. Like, we're pioneering being a creative that's all out for the Lord, you know, who's willing, who's willing to put themselves out there.
Yeah.
Because there's a, since the world doesn't accept Jesus for who he really is, you know, it's really daunting on a lot of people for them to put themselves out there to share the gospel and to share share the truth, not their truth, the truth, you know, and there's a big difference in that. And so, yes, I've been hearing that all the time. People are like, oh, just find your truth. And it's just like, that's the biggest lie. Like that's a beautifully crafted lie by Satan. You know what I'm saying?
We don't have it outside of Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. And especially with the things that have been taking place today, like for example, this last week, right, we had, and I feel free to hop, I don't know how far you want to get into this, but recently we just had a law put forward in, was it Alabama, about abortion and just completely outlawing it, you know? And I've never, ever, ever seen so many people like get vocal about something, you know, like rarely people get into politics and now everyone's into politics, you know? And it's just like, I've been realizing recently that if I am inactive in the political realm, not that I have to like, you know, go and try to be governor or whatever, but if I am inactive and I don't try to learn or educate myself or even know what's going on, maybe you have a different perspective on this, but I really believe I'm being disobedient to the calling God's put on our hearts, because we're called to function here. We're called to have impact here. So where's your head at with that? Like us wanting to impact the world, not wanting to push them away from Christ, you know, but really trying to bring the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have a massive responsibility to engage culture, every sphere of society, you know? And so, I think we should be educated. I think we should know what's happening. And I think we should also know, I think we should be educated as a whole, but I think we really also have to know what area we are called to and what mountain, if you will, that we're called to influence and that we're called to be a voice in. I have a friend, she's a friend and a mentor. She works for the White House and she's in that world. And so that's her mountain. And so, I don't work in the White House. I don't really feel called to that mountain, but it's going to affect my kids. It's going to affect the generations to come. So I can't like not know anything about it. But what better way or reason to be connected to the body, to all different people who are called to these different places? Because I can call her up anytime and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I feel. This is what I'm sensing. Can you give me perspective about the kingdom, perspective about this? Because this is where you are. And teach me, inform me, give me your thoughts so I can learn and I can know how to process this in a fresh way, you know? And so I think that's a beautiful reason why we're the body, and there's an arm and a leg, and they're all supposed to be connected to each other because they all have a different function. And when we're not connected, then I can't benefit from the beauty of the foot, you know, and whatever it is. And so I think we have a responsibility to be involved in every sphere of society as Christians. I believe it's our absolute mandate on our lives, you know.
That's good, man. And so for the people who would say, well, I don't have a friend in the White House, and I've been saying this just in general, like if you are looking, or if you feel you need something like that, then pray about it.
God, there it is.
Send me people, you know, like send me, whether it be creatives. God, I need producers. God, I need singers. God, I need writers, artists who make paintings. I need this, Lord. And he's just, all right, but I got him.
And he's faithful to that. He really is.
I got a whole storehouse of these people.
Yeah.
What do you want? You know, what do you want? Yeah. I mean, I even think of the time where you hit me up, and I wasn't even like, I was just chilling in the airport. I was going to go to a wedding, and you just like hit me up out of nowhere. I'm just like, what is happening right now? Like,
yeah,
I genuinely have not had anyone that I don't know hit me up to work on a project. This is my first like collab request. And I was just like, oh yeah, my gosh, this is insane, you know? And I really look up to you as an artist. Like, I think you're doing an amazing job. And so it was really very encouraging to receive a message like that, you know, but I believe God was putting these things together. Cause I think just the relationship we've been able to build over the last, what, 3-4 months now, like I just enjoy being your friend. Like, I just enjoy having a sister in Christ, you know, like we get to just chop it up. Hey, check in on you. What's going on? You need prayer. Like, and that's a big thing. I feel as a creative, we can fall out of is forgetting the importance of, hey, you're the body of Christ first.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like we're a family first.
Yeah.
It's not projects first. It's not art first. It's not music first. It's, hey, first I'm your spiritual brother or sister.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. Yeah. It's protecting humanity. It's protecting the human, that's a sacred thing that you are a human and you are my brother, that you are a son long before your gifting. And we do people a great disservice when we acknowledge them for their gifting before their sonship, before their humanity. And the more we like when we see the fruit of what it looks like in culture, the celebrity culture that we've created, that is a result of us not saying, hey, how are you doing as a human? I care about your heart more than I care about your gift and your ministry. When we don't protect that, it creates a monster. Like it's so unhealthy. That's a whole nother conversation that we don't have to get into, but I'm super passionate about protecting that, about fighting for that sacred place of sonship, of humanity, or talents and giftings and all that stuff. So,
wow, that's really good, man. That's really good. And so you've been a part of this creative realm now, you know, God's dragged you in. Well, you submitted to it and he pulled you in. Yeah. Right. And so you've been making stuff, you've been sharing things and videos. What is like for people who are trying to find success within this and maintain, you know, their relationship with Christ and really try to build this because God has put this on their heart. What have you found success in that people might be able to not necessarily mimic or do exactly what you did, but what has brought you to the level of success that you're in right now?
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to the last conversation we were having of just caring about people, about humans. Like, I remember when I first started doing music, and I would, whatever, play at a conference or different events and things. And a good example, I played at this festival one time and it was a stadium, thousands of people, probably 30, 40,000 people. And there was this tour that I was on. And it's all these different artists. And basically what would happen is we would hang out in the green room and then go on stage and sing in front of this 30, 40,000 people crowd or whatever.
Yeah.
And then go back to the green room and then go eat in the special catering for the special people and then get on the bus and go home or do whatever, you know, maybe take a stop at the merch table and like say hey to people or whatever. And I remember just seeing it and being in that and just becoming, and I've seen it my whole life, but I just remember a moment of just feeling so grieved by it. And the reality is because of the culture we've created, everyone cannot do what I'm about to say because we've created an unhealthy culture of celebrity stuff and people get weird. Everybody can't do it in the way that I'm about to say.
All right, hit us.
Yeah. But I remember just having this moment of like, hey, I can either sit in this green room and shield myself from the people that God has called me to, or I can go and put myself right in the middle of the people and experience what they're experiencing and feel what they're feeling and have a conversation with them and pray with them and have a moment with them and make them feel seen and heard and cared for and loved, you know? And so I went out and was just like with the people and like walking in the hallway and using the same bathroom that they use and standing in the crowd with them, listening to the next artist that I could have been in the back in the green room with or whatever. And just like the conversations and the look of shock of like, you want to be with me? You want to hang out with me? You just want to like, you're just going to stand here? Like, and just that moment of, hey, I'm a human just like you. You got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go to the bathroom too. And I'm going to use the stall right next to you. Cool. And you're going to get to know that I pee too, because you probably need to know that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the, anyway, that's like a massive example.
Yeah.
But I think even on social media and in our attempts to be effective for the kingdom and to grow our fan base or to grow our ministry or whatever it is, whatever language that people use to explain it, growing the influence. And in an attempt to do that, I think we very often separate ourselves from the very people that we believe that God called us to influence and be connected to. And so it's like, if I'm posting something on social media, that is it's a job, it's a responsibility, it's a ministry. Mm. And so it's like, I'm going to set aside a time of my life, a time in my day where my focus is responding to people because they're engaging. And like, if this woman comments on this video that I posted, I'm saying, man, I want people to be impacted by this. And then I get a long message from this lady in my DMs that got impacted by it. I probably should respond to her. I probably should say something. I probably need to lean into that moment and say, God, what's your heart for this woman? And I may not be able to do that in that 2 hours for every single one of those people, but like, I'm going to set aside time to try. But if I do it all day, then I'm forsaking the one that's in front of me in my daily life. So I can't do it all day, but if I'm going to engage in this social media thing and this influence thing, that I need to make space to actually be connected to the people that I'm believing God wants to influence, you know? And so I did a Kickstarter when I first started doing music and hadn't been doing music very long. I've been doing music for about 3-4 years when I did this Kickstarter, and I felt led to do one for $20,000 for this album and this tour. Wow. And everybody was like, you're out of your mind. Like, I knew artists that had way more influence than me that had tried to do $7,000 and $8,000 Kickstarters, and they failed at them, you know? And so I thought I was losing my mind, you know, but I felt like that's what God wanted me to do, was a $20,000 Kickstarter. And so I did it. Long story short, in 30 days, $20,000 came in for this Kickstarter.
Ooh.
And I remember going back and looking at the numbers, looking at the people who gave, and just trying to process, how did that happen? Like, how did it happen? I remember just talking to the Lord about it. And I felt like what he showed me was, Jasmine, the reason it happened is because you have stewarded relationship with people well. You have cared for people. You've connected with them. You've talked to them. You've had a relationship. And there's something different. Like, you could have 10,000 followers or 20,000 followers, and 9,000 of those people, they don't know you, and you have no type of personal heart connect with them because you've never had a conversation with them. Yeah. You've never, like, you don't know who they are, you know? And so I'm not saying that if you have 100,000 followers that you should know 80,000 of those people personally.
Sure.
But I'm saying we should try to connect with people, and we cannot compromise that. We can't sacrifice that at the altar of convenience when we're called to be influencers. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
And so I believe something like that $20,000 Kickstarter, I believe the reason things like that have happened for me is because I genuinely care about people, and I want to connect with them beyond just, hey, click this like button, click this follow, or whatever it is.
I need your data.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous. It's the same thing as, we want numbers at our church, but don't care to disciple people and don't care to actually do life with them. It's the same thing as, how do we just get more people to show up? It's the same thing in the form of social media. you know, but
like
our heart
has story. I remember who, I don't know if this is a parable or what, but the story about like this man who had a lot of field and then he had all this stuff. I'm botching the story, but you maybe you could clean it up for me. And, yeah. And he had this, all this field, right. And he couldn't store everything in there. So he's like, hey, I'm going to build a bigger one. You know, no, I'm messing this up. It was, he had a place to store all this stuff and he had all the grain outside and he just said, come inside. Like, hey, it's open. Like, you know, the wheat, come inside. Like, hey, you know, all these crops, come inside. But he's just like, that's not how this works. Like, you got to go out, do the hard work, and then it'll come inside, you know? Mm. I don't even know if that's biblical. I remember hearing it somewhere, but it makes I'm trying to think in the Bible where that is. And it's just like, it takes work, man. It's going to take work to bring people into this life. And it's difficult, you know, and it's messy. And oftentimes I've experienced that it doesn't always go well, you know, like you want to love on people and they don't want it.
Yeah.
It's
Or they want to be best friends and talk every single day and you can't.
That's also big.
You know, there's different things, you know, all around it that make it hard and make it messy. But that's ministry. Yeah. That's God loving us.
Yeah, for real.
We're messy, you know, we got stuff and he doesn't stop. He played his part in loving us. He sent his son and created space for us to connect with him and to not have any barriers of connecting with him. But we still got all this stuff and he's still working with us, loving us through our mess. And anyway, ministry, my point is ministry will be messy. Ministry will require something of us. And I think it's unfair to want people to contribute to our ministry and build our ministry and us not to be willing to lay down our life for the people that we feel called to minister.
That's good. So if you're trying to find success, guys, especially pursuing, you know, Christ above all, and you're making content and making stuff to glorify God, it starts with that. It's you can't get the data if you're not worried about the people. And if you don't have compassion for the people, then what are you even making this stuff for?
Yeah. No. What is it for? Right.
Yeah. And so within all this, is there, maybe this is the thing. Has there been anything else you've been seeing that creatives have been doing that you would say, hey, man, that's not a great way to do that. Or I would avoid doing that. Or why are you doing this? Not to call anyone out, but just maybe you've seen something that you would encourage people to avoid that you believe is unfruitful that people are maybe trying.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things for me right now is, and I actually have a little IG talk that's about to come out about this. So I'll say it twice, no big deal. But it is people, we have this false idea often, maybe not everybody, about what success is, about what it looks like. And I think we need to protect and constantly allow Holy Spirit to redefine success for us.
That's good.
What do I mean by that? Well, I think there is a lie. There's a facade that numbers are success. That especially in the world we live in with social media content, all these things. Even as an artist, as a creative, when you're performing, you're doing music, when you're leading worship, whatever it is, there's the goal in culture is to get as many people to come, get as many followers as possible to the point to where people buy followers and buy likes and comments and stuff. And it's just like, I don't have any problem with like paying for ads or whatever. That's fine. You know what I mean? Like people do that with billboards and TV, whatever. But like, I think it's way different than like paying $100 for 10,000 followers or something so that you just look like you have more influence than you actually have.
Yeah.
And I think the problem in that is that it's to me, this is just my opinion. I think it's inauthentic. I don't think it's not authentic. It's not.
You're a liar. Real.
You're lying. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
to be blunt, you're a liar.
I'm trying to be kind about it, but you said it. That's how I feel, you know? And I think Jesus, he poured consistently poured his whole life into 12 people. He never, if we look at our idea of the masses and 100,000 people, like, he never stood in front of 100,000 people. I mean, he had a couple thousand that he did stand in front of, and he had moments with encounters. So, like, but like, there was 12 people that he was obsessed with pouring his life into and giving them everything that he had. And from that 12 people, there were more. There was a exponential growth in value on what he poured into their life that we can see today. Yeah. But he wasn't, it wasn't his obsession to just get past the 12 so that he could get to, so that he could just have 1,000, 100,000 people standing in front of him so that they could all, you know, he became famous. Yeah. You know, he had a lot of influence. He had followers.
Well, but because of the work he put in.
But because of his intentionality with pouring into the 12 people yeah. that were in front of him. And my point in saying that is, I think we can diminish the value of 12 people. We can diminish the value of 20 people. We can diminish the value of the 100 followers that are in front of you, you know, or whatever it is. And I just think our idea of success is just, it just needs to constantly be challenged and redefined. And I think being in healthy community and having conversations and having discussions and exposing those things in our heart, I think that's the only way for those things to constantly be exposed and challenged and brought up. And I think the Holy Spirit can do that. But I believe he puts us in healthy community for those things to be challenged and for those things to be talked about and to be encouraged of like, man, dude, you successfully poured into and influenced 12 people. There are 12 people that messaged you back today and felt touched by what you posted and had a testimony or whatever to what you shared. And for me, that those two DMs of people saying, oh my gosh, like that video you posted yesterday, I was actually about to commit suicide and I did it because that Deliver Me video got posted. Mm-hmm. That testimony, that one DM is worth more to me than the 98 comments that came in that moment or whatever. It's like, I'm like, man, forget the comments, forget the likes. If this one dude, like, if that DM was the reason I posted that video, woo, that was it. That's great. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, we want to see as many people as possible impacted and affected by the gospel, by the kingdom, you know, that we're releasing through our songs and through our videos. So I'm not saying we don't want more people to receive the truth. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think it's wrong for us to belittle the impact that we can have on one, on five, on 20, and push that to the side and reject that for the sake of 100,000 people that we may never actually impact that could just be robots that we paid for.
Yeah. Or just people like scrolling through and not even caring.
Yeah. Double tap, keep it moving.
That's just, yeah. Wow. That's good stuff, Jasmine. Thank you.
So that's just a thought.
But. Praise God. Cool. So I've been getting a pocket of encouragement from each person that is on podcast. And this is just mainly for people who are listening, just to kind of get a micro dose encouragement out of you. So in like a 60-second time frame, if you, let's say today's like the last day you're on earth and you need to share something with creatives specifically, not the whole world, but just creatives, people who are creating content, creating music, creating stuff like that. What is something that you believe is on your heart that you'd love to share with them?
My last 60 seconds on earth.
And you can blame Montel for that, bro. Cause I asked him that question. He's like, what if this is my last day? I'm like, perfect, bro. Even more pressure.
Wow. So many thoughts. But this is my last thing. I just wasted 20 seconds of my life.
No worries.
I think, the reality of you have an audience of one at the end of the day. There's one person. His name is Jesus. That's our goal is to please him, to please the Father. And I think we can get so wrapped up in advancing the kingdom and spreading the gospel and doing all these things. And I think all of that is, he's pleased by that. But he really wants us. He wants us first. If we, I think about that passage, and I'm probably past 60 seconds, but that passage that says, hey, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I did this in your name. I did this. I had a great Instagram page that spread the gospel. I saw people saved. I saw people healed, blah, blah, blah. I did all these things. And he says, but I never knew you. And that word new in that passage, it's the same new that's used when Mary is told that she's about to give birth to the Savior. And she says, but I've never known a man. It's a word of intimacy. And that's the same word that is used in that passage where he says, I never knew you. It's the same word. And so it's what that says to me is at the end of the day, he has a desire for intimacy with us. And you can do all this stuff and never know him and never have relationship with him. And him never, like, you guys never commune together in life and do life together. And he says, that's actually what I'm after. That's what I'm after. This whole ministry thing that I want you to do, I'm asking you to do it because I know that you can't do it without me. And I actually want to be with you. And so if we're together, then there's fruit that comes out of that. But that means nothing to me if I can't have you, if I can't have your heart. And so I guess my encouragement to creatives would be start there and finish there. Start with knowing him. Start with that being your main goal, your first pursuit. That is it. It's simply Jesus, you know, and that has to be the end of it as well. That has to be your success. That has to be what you're doing it for. That has to be who you're doing it with, who you're doing it through, why you're doing it. It has to be the whole thing or it's not worth it. Because he'll say at the end of the day, that's great, but we didn't know each other. So I would just say, don't forsake relationship with him. Don't get so caught up in ministry that you forget him. You forget that he wanted you the whole time. That's why the whole love story was written in the first place, was for him to be with you. And then I die. That was it.
Beautiful. Wow.
60 seconds.
Oh, that was great. Once you got on the roll, you got it, dude. That was that was perfect. Wow. So within, speaking of intimacy, that really spoke to me because I am very like goal driven and like I set my mind to something and I just start plowing through and I easily get lost in that, you know, and I easily get lost in creating and forgetting that, you know, who am I creating for? And well, am I creating with, mm-hmm. you know, like ultimately, you know, mm-hmm. and that really spoke to me because even recently I've been really working hard on this podcast and just continuing to cultivate relationships with people online. That's how I've been able to bear the fruit of having these amazing guests as yourself on here because of relationship, like above all, it's relationship first, not just like randomly hitting someone up and, hey, do you want to talk? Like, that's not how these work. Yeah. And within my creating, within like my business, you know, I do construction. I have a construction company, like all these things have been taking place and I've just been feeling this disconnect, you know, if I could just put it simply, like I felt this disconnect with the Lord because I've been doing what I believe he's called me to do, but not doing it with him.
Mm.
And it's exhausting.
Yes.
You know? And so you saying all that really hits home for me because it's so easy, man. It's so easy to just get lost in the grind, you know? Yeah. And I want to talk about this. I tell people, don't get lost in the grind. Don't get lost in the work, you know? And it's, you're not excluded. You know, you could be sharing things with people and forget to listen to yourself.
For real. It's so true. Mm. It's so true. I appreciate your vulnerability in that.
Yeah, it's all for Jesus, man. I'm not here to put on a show, you know, like, mm-hmm. and this is what's been really cool about utilizing social media, even a platform such as a podcast, is ultimately, I really want people to see like God's real and they will only see that if you're being real.
Yeah, for real.
You can't front them. You know, you got to be straight. You got to be 100 about it. Like there's no, it's people see through stuff, man. And if you're faking it for a while, it will come to surface. there's just no way around that.
there's some very important parts of God that biblically it is that it's impossible to see without our weakness being brought to the table. You know what I'm saying? Because in our weakness, he reveals his strength. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, there's a side of him that people don't even get to see unless we're honest about the hard stuff, about the real stuff, the struggle in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And quite, I find myself often telling people like, yo, get real with yourself. Just get real with it, man. Like quit trying to, you're trying to like fake yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, you're like deceiving your own self and you don't even know it. And that's horrible. I mean, it's a very dangerous position to be in, you know, and especially as, you know, the body of Christ, man, we're called into a supernatural life. We're called into a life of freedom with Christ. And how can you be free if you're not willing to look at maybe the cage that you were in or the things that are coming in front of you now? Like there may be things you've been freed of, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be any new things you're going to struggle with. You know, like there's never a point of, oh, nothing ever is going to happen that I don't know about anymore. Like you can't just be prepared for everything. You know, that's just not how that works.
Never going to happen. We are forever being made into his likeness.
Amen.
Which means there will forever be something that's not in his likeness that's in us.
Yeah. As long as we continue to walk in the Spirit, right? Because, I mean, we still have a choice.
You're
for born again, filled with the Spirit. You'd be doing all these things for God and still pursue your flesh.
Yep.
And that's what I love about God. That's what I love. He doesn't force anything.
Mm-hmm.
He can tug on you real hard, but there needs to be... Like the takes two to tango. Like you need the two. He's like, yo, I made you guys, but I want you to choose me. That is love.
Yeah.
That's real love. You can't have real love without making that commitment, you know?
Yeah. So good.
I saw you just whip out your Bible. Did you have anything to share?
Well, I was with one of the artists in our community here yesterday and we were talking about some stuff and I was trying to find, she talked about this verse and I was just trying to find it. I don't know.
Okay. No worries.
But I was like, man, that verse that she was saying fits so, it's so what you're saying right now. But
anyway. No stress.
Yeah.
It'll come.
If I come across it,
you got it. For sure. For sure. So something that I hope to continuously encourage people with and challenge people with is the question of what has God been doing through you recently? And I mean, recently, like let's say in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 days, what has God been doing? And it very clearly shows, I believe, it very clearly shows the state of intimacy someone is in when they struggle to answer that question.
Yeah.
You know, for and sure. So within everything that you've been doing, you've been spending time, you know, working with people and discipling people, making content, making music, doing all this stuff. Aside all that great stuff, what else has God been doing maybe in you? And then that has been blooming because we get to see the fruit of that. You know, we get to see
it
through you. But there's also a lot of things that there isn't a video made about.
Yeah.
But like there's times you go to the grocery store, share the gospel with somebody. You don't got a camera. You're not Gary Vee where you got camera crews around behind you. You know what I'm saying? Like there's when you're still very much so a regular, I mean, I think we're all regular people, but when you don't have like some camera crews and all like catching every moment of your life, there's so much that takes place that people have no clue about.
Yes.
That you might not even mention, you know?
Yeah.
So what has God just been, I don't know, stirring up in you and what has been happening?
Yeah, there's two things that come to mind. So something cool happened 2 days ago. I was out with just one of the girls that I disciple and we were hanging out and in Sundance Square in Fort Worth. It's like a like downtown. It's like one hangout central location spot downtown with fountains and stuff. So we're down there hanging out. And it's late at night. I just finished doing a rehearsal for a show this weekend and me and her were just down there catching up. And
is this the girl you're doing the show with?
No. So okay. I was doing a rehearsal and then...
Okay. Cool.
She was with me. She was just kind of hanging out and learning while we were doing that. And so I went to hang out with her before going home. And just catching up on stuff. And she says, these guys walk up to us and say, "Hey, will you take a photo for us?" They wanted a photo with like this really nice building that we have downtown. And so she says, "Yeah, sure." So we walk over to take photos with them. And I look at the guy's shirt, and he'd already kind of been highlighted to me a little bit, but I didn't feel any, I didn't know what I wanted yet. He was kind of highlighted. And so we're taking these photos, and his shirt says D-Hop. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but as far as I know, anything with hop on it means House of Prayer. And IHOP, J-Hop, Justice, House of Prayer, whatever. I have a lot of friends in that movement. And so I was like, cool, he's probably connected to a House of Prayer. And immediately I felt in my spirit, that's not what it is, but that's what I felt. And so I was like, okay, well, Lord, why are you highlighting House of Prayer? And what is it then? And so I didn't know exactly what God wanted to say yet. I just knew that it had something to do with prayer that he wanted to highlight with this guy that I was supposed to say. Sometimes in those moments, I'm sure you know this, you don't have the full picture of what God wants to do or say, but it requires first a step of obedience, just moving into the moment, and then God will put his words in your mouth, you know?
Exactly.
And so we're taking the photos of him and his friend, and I said, "Hey man, what's D-Hop mean? What's that mean on your shirt?" And he was like, "Oh, something House of Pancakes." I forget what the first word was. Something House of Pancakes. And I was like, "Yep, not prayer." It wasn't prayer. Good to know. And so I was like, "Yeah." I said, "That's funny. Originally, I thought that it was going to be maybe Denton House of Prayer. Denton is like a city that's a bit north of us." And I said, "I thought maybe it would be Denton House of Prayer." And I was like, "Have you ever heard of House of Prayer?" And he was like, "No, not really." And I was like, "Well, it's just a place where people come together to pray." And he was like, "Oh, cool." And I was like, "Well, actually, when I saw your shirt, I felt like God started speaking to me about you." I said, "Is it okay if I share with you what the Lord was speaking?" And you could just see him get like super overwhelmed, like, tell me what God said about me. You know, he's just like, "I don't know what that means, but sure, you know, I guess I want to hear what God says about me. And how do you know?" You know, and
you know God like that.
And so I was like, "All right." And
homies like that.
And I said, "Well, I saw you, I saw your shirt, and I felt like God was highlighting HOP, House of Prayer." And I said, "This is what I sense, you know, and this is the part that I had no idea what was going to come out of my mouth next, you know." And I said, "I feel like you've been praying, like you're a man that you actually have history with God. You have been praying, but recently you've been in a season where you feel like God hasn't answered your prayers, and it's caused you to question the reality of God in your life. Like, it's kind of making you wonder if he's even real anymore, and if he cares about you, or if he loves you the way you thought he did in the past." And he starts slapping his friend. He's like, "Bro," he's just hitting him, you know? And so
I got chills right now, dude.
You know? And so I said, "Yeah." And the words just kind of keep going about him questioning if God loves him, if God knows him, and that, "Hey man, you know, God brought us to this spot in Sundance Square randomly super late tonight, and brought you here super late tonight randomly, and had you ask us to take a photo of you just because he desires for you to know that he loves you and he knows you." Man. How crazy is that, bro? Man. And he's just like, "This is crazy." He's like, "You don't even understand." He's like, "You don't even know." He's like, "I was just now sitting at the table next to you guys talking to my friend, and I was telling him that there's so much that's been happening in my life that I feel like God hasn't been answering my prayers, and I feel like he doesn't know me, and I feel like he's been very uninvolved with my life." And he's like, "This is crazy right now." And he says, "This morning, my dad actually called me to a meeting with him, and my dad started telling me that he felt like I needed to like kind of get my life together with the Lord, and that I needed to like get my relationship with God together because it's just been so much happening in my life. And my dad just said that today, and now I'm here. And then I met with this other guy for coffee, and we were talking about God, and then this happens." And he was like, "I don't even know what to say. This is crazy." And his friend, I don't know his friend's background with the Lord, but his friend is just like, you can tell he's just shell-shocked, like, "What is happening right now?" You know? Wow. And so I said, "Well, cool, man. You know, this is God. He's doing something. He's pursuing you so intentionally right now." I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I said, "Can I hold your hand? Is that cool?" And he says, "Yeah." So I grab his hand. And I said, "Have you ever experienced the presence of God? Like, have you ever experienced anything where you can feel God's presence in a way that lets you know that he's real?" And he's just like, you know, I didn't really know what I meant by that. And I said, "Well, sometimes in my life, when there are moments when I feel like I can't see God in my natural situation, or I feel like he's not doing anything, I'll ask him to just let me know that he's still with me. And physically he'll do something to let me know that he's there with me. Sometimes that's what I do, because I just need him to let me know that he's with me. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, do you want to experience that right now? I feel like God wants you to feel his presence right now, to know that he's with you. And he's like, yeah. You can tell he's kind of like, I don't know, I think I want that, or maybe not, you know? And so I said, okay. And so I started praying, and just praying that God would reveal himself to this guy. And I said, God, you know, whether it's through heat in his body or tingling, I said, but I really feel like you want to do it through a gust of wind. Will you just send a strong gust of wind through right now to let him know that you love him and that you care about him and that you're with him in this whole process? And I kind of just kept praying. And 2 seconds afterwards, huge gust of wind comes through, his hair starts blowing, and I'm tripping, you know, like we usually tell, you know, we tell these stories and it's like, it's all like, oh, this person had this encounter with God, but we sometimes forsake the reality of how it affects us. And that moment happened, and I was just like, God, like, you're so crazy. Like, I asked you to bring wind to show this guy that you love him, and you love me so much that you showed the wind too. Like, that shows me that you're here with me, ministering to this guy right now. And that's just so beautiful, you know? And so the guy is just, you can see his eyebrows. He had his eyes closed, but his eyebrows just kind of went up like, what, you know? And so we finished praying and disconnected, you know, and it was just a beautiful moment. But that was a couple nights ago. And I live for those moments. I live for stories like that. And I think
natural, if we're not, regular day, living life.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to. Yes. Like the regular, you know, going get coffee or hanging out with your home.
I wasn't on a missions trip. I wasn't doing outreach that night. I wasn't trying to do something. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was actually trying to hang out with somebody else and pour into another person that God has put in my life that I love so much. And God, you know, I found that those types of invitations from the Lord are often extremely inconvenient.
Extremely uncomfortable.
And quite often we can't say that we want to see God move in and through our lives and not expect to be inconvenienced in our schedules.
Let's
and
go.
How we set up
Spot
our
on.
Life.
Spot
and
on.
And I love that was a moment where even the girl was like, this is awesome. Like, you know, she wasn't mad and like, God, this is my time.
This is my window with Jasmine.
You know, that we just got to have that moment. And,
did she feel the wind too?
I think so. We all were like, kind of like, yeah, you know. Her name is Alyssa. She's amazing.
Praise God. I'm so encouraged to hear that. Yo, for all you guys listening, man, like, I hope you have a desire for this stuff. And I hope you have a desire to be used by God and to get to experience stuff like this, because it's real.
Yeah.
Like, God is real. Like he wants to use you for this kind of stuff, you know? And it's, he will use situations like this and stories like this to encourage the body of Christ, to help you, you know, step into, you know, this life-filled experience. You know, like we were once dead and now we are alive and we're walking around zombies. And people look at, you know, movies and shows and we got zombie apocalypse. Like, I think that stuff is so real in regards to a spiritual level. Like, we got straight up dead people everywhere and they're all attacking you and they all want you to be like them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it's not as scary, you know, in the physical form as the zombies are in movies and stuff. And I don't even watch that stuff because it creeps me out. But when I think about it, man, it's like, man, we've been made alive.
Yeah,
we've been activated. We're here to bring light, you know, and you're called to go out and step out and do these things. And especially as an artist, where you should be connecting with the Lord daily when you create, when you're making stuff, when you're encouraging people with stuff like that. That should be, as you mentioned earlier, like that, it starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus and everything stems out of that. And so as you're walking in the Spirit of God, and he's leading you, he will create opportunities like that. And for people who say, well, I don't have any crazy stories like that. Well, I'm not saying we all need to have crazy stories, but God does crazy things. And yes. When you ask the Lord, say, God, I want to experience this stuff, he will do it. Like, I had a point in my life where I'm like, God, I play drums at church. I do all this stuff. I go to men's group. I go, you know, go be with these people. I go do this. And I haven't seen anything miraculous happen, you know, in the sense where I'm reading in the book of Acts, like people getting healed, demons getting cast out of people, people starting to speak in tongues, you praying over them, like people getting just rocked by the Holy Spirit, like the supernatural stuff, you know? And so I just had this burning desire. I said, God, I need this. I need to experience this because I know this is what you're calling me to. Like, I don't feel this passionate about it just cause like, I know you're putting this on my heart. And I just asked, like, God, I want to see it. I want to pray for healing. I want to do this stuff. And when those opportunities came, was it easy or comfortable? Absolutely not. It was, right. It was gut wrenching. Like horrible, like walking through like quicksand, you know, like it was just, or mud. It was just horrible. But when you take that step, when you go and step out in faith and walk through that fear, which I believe many people struggle with, is walking in and through fear, which is initially what Satan will utilize to keep us from bringing the kingdom of heaven here. Because, and this is what I've been thinking about recently. I just dropped I got a song or two. I think one dropped today. I don't remember all the lyrics right now, but thinking about how like the devil's actually powerless without us. I was thinking about it the other day, man. I went like the devil was here, right? But he wasn't really able to do anything until man submitted the power that he or she had to Satan. Like Satan has no power unless you give it to him. And I was just thinking about that the other day, like, man, like how crazy is it that with Christ, since I mean we're cursed into sin, you know, with Christ you have the ability to take that back. Like what an opportunity, man. What an opportunity we have to take that authority back, to take that power back and withhold Satan from me continuing his work in you. You know, it's, and then being able to set other people free and being able to just keep pouring that into the rest of the world, man. It's just, I don't know. I was just thinking about it the other day. I'm just like, man, how cool is that? Like the devil, he can't do nothing without us. Mm. He's helpless without us. Like what? There's no point of this whole earth if there's no humans, you know, like, yeah, you could have all these cool animals and stuff, but like God created humans for a very specific reason, you know, and without us, the devil has no one to attack, you know, he could try to destroy the creation, but God is more powerful than that, you know? So I'm just thinking about that, like, man, how crazy it is for us to have this authority that's been stored within us and we get to choose, you know, to choose. It's beautiful. Awesome. All right. So to wrap up, so I don't take up your whole morning, what are some, for example, three artists that you've been really encouraged or loving, just seeing them put the work in, seeing them, you know, bear fruit in regards to what they've been doing, kind of like promote three artists that you want other people to know about?
Yeah, for sure. Joel Anset.
Yeah.
Got to meet him. My dear friend. Really, yeah, we actually... Dude. The first tour that I went on as a result of that Kickstarter that I talked about earlier, he was one of the artists. There was 10 artists that went on a tour across America together. And it was kind of did like an internship for creatives that feel called to advance the kingdom outside the four walls of the church. And he was one of the creatives in that internship and that were on that tour. And so we got to spend about 3 months straight together, all across America.
And his wife, right? Like they just got married and then she went, I was just, he'd tell me about it like crazy.
Yeah. And it was an incredible experience. So they're dear to me. I love them deeply. There are things a way that you bond with people on a tour like that, that you can't bond with people outside of that experience, you know? And so I love him dearly. I believe in him so much. And
he's got an album dropping, what, September?
Yeah.
That time. So you guys tune in to Joel. Yeah, he's really talented.
Yeah, his dream is to be the C.S. Lewis of music, and I believe he's well on his way, if not there. He's a lyricist. I mean, I am a softy for content, like lyrical content. I believe that's everything. I believe we have the ability to disciple people, to tell parables the way Jesus told parables, to see the kingdom advance through lyrics. I think we were created to do, I think we have the opportunity as artists, as songwriters, I'll say, to do more than just speak to Christians and empower Christians, encourage Christians through the music. I think we should be also writing the soundtrack for culture that informs, that disciples people into healthy family, into healthy values, into kingdom perspectives about things. And I think if we only write worship songs, I think we're forsaking our position in impacting culture. That's just my opinion. And I think we should be occupying those spaces as well. If we don't occupy those spaces, then I don't even know popular artists. Nicki Minaj will occupy that space and tell people how to think about love. If we don't occupy that space, then Eminem, I don't even know who the popular artists are right now.
I got you.
But somebody else will disciple an entire generation on healthy family. Eminem discipled me in family when I was little. Eminem taught me to be bitter towards my mom when I was in high school. I'm sorry, mama. I never meant to hurt you. And that meant to make you cry by the night. Like, that song gave me permission to be bitter towards my mom. He discipled me. Somebody else in the kingdom should have been occupying that space in a place where I would look for music and look to be taught about how to think about certain topics. We're not occupying those spaces. No, I take that back. There are people who are doing that. I don't think there's enough of us yet. I have a desire to do that. I believe Joel is one of those people.
Praise God.
So I would say Joel. I think Montel Fish is, he's the homie. I love him. He's a good dear friend of mine as well.
Big shout out to Fish.
Big shout out. I think what he's doing is, I think he's doing something a little bit different than that, but there's a massive need for what he's doing as well. I believe he's making music that really empowers in kind of breaking boxes of worship.
Yes.
That is a powerful thing.
Amen.
And I'm so encouraged by the space that he's occupying in the body of Christ. Amen. I think he's giving worship leaders permission to do more than just sing Bethel songs and elevation songs and stuff like that. And I love that stuff. But I take that stuff into my secret place. But I can now take Montel Fish music into my secret place as well with the Lord and have a bop on while I'm... you know, talking to the Lord. And I think that's amazing. You know what I mean? There's a space for that, because once people do come into the kingdom, they need something to listen to that's a bridge from what they used to listen to. That they can vibe to, and that will disciple them as well once they're in the faith, you know? And so I love that he's doing that and occupying that space, and people can get saved through that as well, you know? And so I would say those are two artists that I would say, those are the two that come to mind right now.
Perfect. No, you're good. Yeah, guys, seriously, man. And there's actually an episode with Montel that's already have dropped by the time you guys are listening to this. So make sure you go ahead, check that out. And I have been chopping it up with Joel. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we could get him in on a chat as well. Thank you, man. That's lovely. And I ask about artists because I feel like it's easy to kind of just run past a bunch of people that are amazing that you just don't, just because you didn't run into them. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have so much stuff out there, so much music being put out that it's like you get lost, and it's easy to get lost, you know? And I find myself in that where I haven't been making music for very long, you know, and it's still very fresh for me. And I don't have millions of people listening to my music, you know what I'm saying? But there might be one or two people who enjoy it. And as long as God's glorified in that, awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But I have found artists that I really enjoy because other artists mentioned it. And that's the big reason why I was asking, like, hey, what are some people? Because the connections we have with other fellow artists isn't necessarily what other people have. Because not everybody's an artist. You know,
right,
it's different when you connect somebody with someone on social media,
yeah,
and you're an artist. You know, it's just something different about, like, that's why I'm really grateful that I am an artist and I produce and I do stuff like that. Where when it comes to me hitting up somebody for a podcast, they're like, oh, I already seen you've been putting in work.
Yeah.
Like you're doing something in music. Right. So I know you're just not some random person just hitting me up about whatever.
Right. Can I add one more artist?
Yes.
That I just thought of. I hate when people ask me that question and I only say singer-songwriters or producers.
Okay. Cool.
There's so many other types of artists.
That is
and
true.
So I just want to highlight another type of artist that I love and I'm good friends with and just so value who she is. Eniola. I think her name on social media is Eniola Anna, I think is what it is.
Okay.
But just look up Eniola and she should come up. She's actually one of the worship leaders at Upper Room, but she does.
How do you spell that?
Eniola. 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 And she does, I don't even know what she would call herself, but she does poetry. And it is like powerful poetry.
Multiple poetry. Oh, awesome.
It's powerful. And she has another page called Gold Heart that you can find through her page, Gold Heart.
Awesome.
And so she makes like merch as well, but like she has poetry that is so powerful that really I get revelation about Jesus and about the heart of the Father all of the time. It stirs me in my desire for God all the time through her art. And so check her out as well. And she she's solid character, loves Jesus, woman of God. She's amazing. So check her out.
Praise God. This is awesome, man. Hallelujah. I'm excited to see what else she's got coming.
Yeah.
And this is what's cool, man. It's like when it comes to like stuff like poetry, painting, making graphic art, like all of it is being used, you know, like there's such a need for it today, you know, and we can supply the need. It's beautiful. Awesome. Jasmine, this has been such a treat. Thank you so much for blessing us with your time and just all the things God's been doing in your heart. I'm super excited to continue this life with you and just enjoying Jesus, you know. Enjoying Jesus.
Yeah.
And hey guys, we actually have a really cool project we've been having on in the works.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited about it. I'm going to send you that one copy today after I finish this podcast. But there's some really cool things Jasmine's been up to. She has loads of music that you guys don't know about and she keeps making new stuff. So make sure that you go ahead and check out her Instagram. Check her out on Spotify as well. You could literally just type in her name, Jasmine Tate. And her Instagram is Tater Tot, right?
Jasmine Tater Tot.
Tater Tot. Yeah, my wife was like, who's Tater Tot? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's funny. But yeah, make sure you guys tune in and see what else Jasmine's up to, because I really believe this is somebody who would be tremendously blessed by. And yeah, just hit her up. Tell her how much you love her. Awesome. Y'all, so every episode I have us just kind of pray us out. And if you'd be up for it, just to pray over the listeners, and then I'll just pray over you and I'll close us out and we can continue on with our day.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Lord, we love you. We love you so much. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing amongst creatives right now, Lord, for every listener on this podcast, even if they're not a creative, they don't consider themselves to be a creative, Father. I pray that you would show them, who they are as a son, as a daughter first. And just the beauty that because you are the ultimate creator, that means that all of us have your creative nature inside of us. And so I pray that you would give us eyes to see how creativity is supposed to flow through our lives, in the workplace, with our families, whatever we're called to, because you can be found in all of those places in your creativity. And so would you open our eyes up to who you are in a fresh way? Lord, I pray that every word that was spoken in this podcast, Lord, that you would use it to minister to the listeners. Yes. And the things that weren't from you, that maybe it was our flesh and our opinion, Father, I pray that it would just bounce off the ears and not fall into their hearts. But whatever's from you, whatever you want to bear fruit in their lives, let it grow deep roots and bear beautiful kingdom fruit in every listener's heart, God. And so we love you. I bless the listeners, Lord. I pray for kingdom advancement through their lives, God, in their everyday lives, whether it's through a creative project or just through who they are in their everyday life, in the store, in the mall, at their job, whatever it is, God, but have your way through their lives. And I pray that you would lead them into intimacy with you in a fresh way so that they can know you and be known by you in ways that they've never experienced, Father.
Hallelujah. Yes, God, thank you so much. Lord, I just ask you continue to push Jasmine into new avenues of creativity and continue to challenge her, Lord. Continue to send her people who want to grow with her. Continue to help her maintain the relationship she's already built and just continue the work she's already doing. God, I just thank you in advance for financial provision, Lord. Thank you in advance for connecting her with people who will really be blessed and encouraged and challenged by what you have put on her heart. And I just ask that you have your hand over all the projects that she's doing, the amazing things in regards to discipling fellow creatives and all these things that are working in the background, Lord. We just trust you, Father. I just thank you for her life. Continue to send her into places that she didn't even know that she's going to be sent into, Lord. Continue to just encourage her and love on her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Hey guys, this whole podcast was brought to you by my book, One Day Closer to Being Created. One Day Closer to Becoming Who You've Been Created to Be. You can find it on Amazon, as well as there's going to be an audiobook available soon. I will let you know when that comes out, but I think there's some things in there that you'll find some encouragement with. So if you'd like to check that out, it's available on Amazon as an ebook, as well as a printed version. So this whole podcast was brought to you by me. Until God provides otherwise. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Jasmine. This was lovely. I am very excited to see what else God's going to be doing.
Yes. Thanks for having me. It's been a joy. I'm so thankful for you, Isaac. Thanks for your voice. Thanks for using your voice. Thanks for just chartering, moving out into new waters with the Lord. We will all be fed and grateful and encouraged by all of the material that you're putting out, man. So thanks for doing this.
All for his glory. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Awesome. Thank you, Jasmine. Talk soon.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Peace.